Did anybody have occasion to put to use what we studied yesterday about reflect on these things to see if there's any value in anything other than Christ? Or did you forget when you walked out the door?
I personally don't use the scriptures for anything.
He's righteous.
No, I did a little reflecting on this. The one that first one, I think, whatever things are true and honest.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. We talked about that yesterday afternoon. How it,
well, most people, when you read that, you think it's a to-do.
Yeah.
But it's another issue of, if you're going to think about stuff, then why waste your time unless it meets a standard? And the only stuff or only thing that meets a standard is Christ.
I used to write this to girlfriends, and I'd say, just thinking about you.
You're kidding me. You're not that. You're really not that.
I loved it.
They loved it.
Yeah, it worked for them.
You're really a dork. Is a dork anymore used anymore?
I think that's appropriate. Yeah,
I think that approach is easy.
I guess it depends on your target audience, but if that was your target audience, you're definitely a dork.
Oh, then these things. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think or carefully reflect on these things. Push them to the edge, just like you do on everything else. And then those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. This is the second time he said, follow me. He said, if therefore as many as be perfect, be thus wise, be thus minded, and if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this, even this unto you. That's brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. What?
The fact that God will reveal even that to you is sort of along the same lines as we've got a good work in you.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to really even worry about if you're not getting it. You know, or even if you don't agree. Or if you're, you know, it's like whatever, you know, it's like God will reveal it one way or the other.
But that is because he doesn't reveal how well you've done by considering these things and how good of a person you are now.
But what does he say? I mean, what is Paul saying here? Brethren, be followers together of me. What's the only thing that Paul had to offer anybody was his faith. That's the only thing you can follow. And everything else is crap. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Go to Romans 14 a minute.
Yeah, even that statement has potential for, okay, now I'm going to do faith like Paul did faith.
Look.
Ridiculous.
Look. See this pencil?
Yeah.
Forget what you think faith means in English. And never again even consider what it means. And pistis, faith, it's 100% reliance. If God isn't there, I die. That's faith. Anything else is no faith. Totally drop. It's total reliance. No reliance on anything else. But we've made faith into a noun. What faith are you?
Yeah. How is your faith working for you?
This came up in me yesterday. It just came up again. That there's this someplace it talks about where God allures Israel out into the wilderness, like tricks Israel to come out into the wilderness, and there he deals with it. that you come to God because you think you're going to get something. You think a problem's going to... I mean, you do it for crooked reasons, but it doesn't matter. Because once you pick up this shiny thing that you think is a quarter, it's really a radioactive isotope, and it's too damn late. Once God grabs you, you can't get away.
I want you to imagine that within each one of you is a... From the human race's standpoint, it's a deadly germ. And it's encased in something that's called self-seeking and self-realization. And as long as that is the protective system, it's the protection of the self, it's the only antidote to that deadly germ inside you. But once that, whatever it is encapsulated in that self or self-seeking, then it's like the nuclear reactor that had a crack in it, and slowly but surely, that little bit of that germ or that yeast permeates everything. No matter how hard you try to encapsulate it back again to protect yourself, slowly but surely. That's why he that has begun a good work in you is faithful to complete it. Now, what I'm trying to do by preaching the cross is to cause you to see this before you actually physically experience, so that you can come to this place of openness and the loss of all things without rebellion. That's what the preaching of the cross is. It's to show that everything about that thing that you've got, that radioactive isotope is probably better encased in, which is self, is only causing you to die eternally. You cannot touch eternity as long as self is the protection. So Paul says, what you've heard and seen and learned, what is all that stuff? There's a bunch of stuff there. We're going to Romans first. Romans 14.
I'm there.
Happy, in verse 22, happy, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. Romans 14, now verse 22. Listen carefully. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth or approves. Now, do you understand how much of your life you spend condemning yourself in the thing that you approve? I want to get beyond all protection now. Now, listen to the next verse. And he, because, or and, he that doubteth is damned, if he eat, or whatever he does, because he eateth, or whatever it is, notice he eateth is not in the text, because it is not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, if you don't comprehend this, then study and study and study, because this is the bottom line. This is why faith is the only thing that you follow in a person. This is why abandonment, which is faith, is the only thing you can follow. Faith and abandonment are the same thing. Faith, abandonment, and repentance are all the same thing. They're just different words for the same phenomenon. Being careful for nothing is faith. Being rejoicing in everything is faith. Seeing it's finished in everything is faith. But we've made faith into a noun, or faith into an option, or faith we use just sometimes during the day.
Now, this has to be tied to you've been bought with a price and your life is not your own. If you think it's your own, then faith becomes a noun and it's about you.
But go back to verse 22. You have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Test it out, in other words. I got to tell you this again, because you've got to hear this. For me, that transaction was the first thing I experienced as a believer. I knew after that moment in time that I could never again help myself. And so, I walked away from everything with no provision for anything. And my worst fears came upon me. All the money I had was in deals, so I just walked away from all the deals. I walked, 3 months later, I was homeless, living under a bridge, nothing to eat, cold. Now, I'm not saying that's necessary for everybody, but that kind of faith for you to follow is necessary. And the only reason I had that kind of faith initially is because I couldn't do anything else. There's no merit in it. But faith and its self-improvement or self-enhancement it's the antithesis. I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing it for my family. Bullshit. Do you see the dramatic moment this is? This is that knife edge between soul and spirit that has to be walked. Again, this is why it says, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself. Test it. See if you really have it. Examine yourself. Prove that you're in the faith. Know you not that Jesus Christ is in you? If you don't know that, you can't have faith. Because you'll have faith in something external, with still you as the center of your universe. But here's the test. Here's the kicker is in terms of how this walks, because the Holy Spirit is always there busting you. I'm sorry, I'm becoming Gary. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he approveth or alloweth. Because the very walk and the very aspect of the test of everything in the universe is coming against that faith. And so if you're going back and forth, doubting and wondering what you should do about something, then you're a fool. Because you bought into the lie of the Antichrist. You know that it's all fruitless, but you... You're convinced that something, I'm worried about my finances. Or I'm worried about my children. And so you condemn yourself in a thing you approve. Do you understand what this means? If you don't, then speak up.
Isn't this talking about this place where you suspend God out of everything, and there's there's some things that you don't approve, and there's some things that you know God is in your own consciousness, and then there's a big wide area where you think you have to act independently of God's not in this, he's not going to be
Well, I know, but
I've got to do something, and that's the area where you have to see God is in everything, or He's not, or you just stop.
Yeah, but because you can't do that, you can't put your life into slices or segments. I mean, if you're doing it in one area, you're doing it in every area. Is this communicating at all? It doesn't seem to, because this is, it just seems like I'm looking at blank faces.
To me, this is like taking communion unworthily. It's discerning the Lord's body or your body. If it's my body, and I have to decide what's right and wrong and good and bad and take an inventory and measurements and see if I'm progressing, it's the wrong.
Then you're the subject of your sin.
The wrong universe. And it, by definition, will be filled with doubt because there's a choice.
Trying to think of an example, I'm not thinking of an example, but I know that you would think that he would say that the sad man is who condemns himself in the things that he condemns. But he says that, you know, he's sad if he condemns himself in the things he approves. So he's caught, you know, can't go one way because he's going two ways.
Right, because if as long as you want it, if you're approving it, you believe it's good. So whoever you think is good, you will approve that. And if it doesn't happen that you think it's good, and the only reason you think it's good is because you put a form to God. You have an a priori idea of what the next moment should look like.
Sin has been revived. It's right back to Romans 7. It's me. There I am.
But you have to see that this confronts you 1,000, 10,000 times a day, but you've so deadened the discernment portion of you that you just slough it off and go on. And this is what preaching is about. It's undeadening or enlivening that part of you that is on the knife edge of soul and spirit, so that you can't get by with living in this dullness. That's what, you know, that's why you and I had that discussion the other day, which I won't go into, but because that one issue, and it's same, it's one in you and something, and it you've dulled it, you've made a truce with it, you've put it over here, it's, I'm not going to deal with it. Well, you can't, you're not a whole bunch of things, you're one thing. And so if part of you has been dulled, all of you is dulled. That's what the scriptures are about from beginning to end. That's why I get so, you know, insistent that you say what's there at all times, no matter what the risk. Because otherwise you will make a judgment about this one thing that's there, and you'll say, no, I better not talk about that. And you'll put it away over here, and then you wonder why you feel, no, you're not enlivened because you start to feel, or you start to judge somebody. And it's because you put something over here in your closet that's keeping all of you down. Am I anybody? You hear this?
Yesterday I was responding. I guess I was responding to the morning meeting because we were talking about it. Went upstairs and I was thinking about how, you know, I never liked any kind of confrontation, of course. And not just confrontation, I guess just any kind of thing that I consider uncomfortable or whatever, you know, and I want to get that out of the way. I was thinking about, you know, like this moving mic was coming up, and it was like, that has a very good potential to turn into, you know,
confrontation.
10 or 15 different ways, you know, and my response to that is to, you know, it's just sitting there like this thing that I don't think God's in right then. It's like, well, I know that when I get there, God will be in it, but right now, you know, it's sitting there, and I realize that's what is sin, you know, and that I was talking to Joyce Anna upstairs about it.
Amen.
And I just need to, you know, because what I want to do is, like, get rid of things, get them out of the way so I can return to my level of comfort, you know. And that's not a good way to live. It's sin. This is living in death. So I repent of that.
I hope.
I hope too. I do right now.
Yeah. I have a question on this condemn yourself. I think I'm kind of getting that confused. I mean, is that something we're doing in our mind, or is that something that is happening to us, like damnation? Or
no, you are condemning.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I mean, it's the same thing about.
Like
okay, let's forget God about it, and let's say God is over here. So let's put God in the box. All right, so your life is made up of a series of an infinite number of little ambitions and goals and targets and maybe one in a billion of the targets and aims and goals that you set for yourself you actually make. But so what this the way you're constructed, the way we are hardwired, is you have the capacity to see what you think you should do, but almost no ability to perform it. And so that therein is this distance from what you perceive versus what you end up doing. And that is how you condemn yourself. Does that commute? And that's why it's way you're hardwired, but it's really the Holy Spirit also bringing you slowly but inexorably towards the place of abandonment. So that you don't owe this thing that's always lied to you. Do you really believe what I say that? That your mind has always lied to you? Because your mind has as its predicate, you are separate from the first source. You know, that's the whole thing about shame and death and perception of death and the sex thing that comes from once you feel death and sex is the answer. You think you're horny, but you're just a loser. And yet the world admires that. Well, I mean, you're studly. That's why our name for Rumpel all those years was Stud Muffin, because of the contrast. Muffin is a... That's so gay. Do kids still say that?
Gay?
I've heard it.
Anyway, to answer your question, it's both God and you, but the only one you pay the attention to is your own condemning.
Because you drink damnation and eat and drink damnation unto yourself.
Just think. Stop a minute. I mean, most of you know me well enough to know that you never have to concern yourself with what I'm thinking about you. I mean. If I've got something to say, I say it. Now, if I had to depend on your words, it's obvious to me that because you withhold, you hate. Oh, no, I don't hate. Well, it's your definition that you don't hate, but God's definition is you're hating because you're withholding. When you withdraw, you murder. And when those instances happen internally by withholding, let's say you withhold something from your wife, you can use the words, I love you, the rest of your life, and she'll never believe it. Because you have withdrawn from her, you're withholding from her, which ends in divorce, which is tantamount, which is murder. And so... And the point of all that is how we respond to people by how these internal mechanisms have transpired. We if we hate somebody, we avoid them. And so you may not avoid physical contact, but you avoid true fellowship. You avoid true emptying and a relationship. And then you satisfy that by tail-bearing. That's the way of the beast. Remember when you tail-bear, you murder three people? You murder the one you're talking about, you murder the one you're telling it to, and you murder yourself. From God's perspective. It doesn't matter what you think. So all these things that happen cause this thing here to happen. You know, happy is he that have thou faith, have it to thyself before God. Test it. Push it to the end. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he approves. Well, that's the biggest step you can make. Because you don't condemn yourself because there's no self-awareness. I hope this reached you at some point. He that doubteth is damned or condemned by him. I mean, it's not that you're condemned by God Have you ever struggled with a choice between options? Well, of course you have. That's the way of the beast. And then you figure out ways and good ways to do it, and you weigh all the facts. Well, the point of this, if you're in the process of doubting, which is more than one choice, more than one instance, then you're damned already because you go above the cloud. And it's not God doesn't have to worry about it. He's not damning you because you're already damned. Pray that you hear this. What day is it today?
Friday.
So now, just to get it straight, so I don't get mad at everybody, Monday, are we having a meeting?
Monday is
a But we're meeting Sunday.
Yeah, we are meeting Sunday. We're going to have a normal Sunday.
Normal.
Have a
regular normal Sunday.
Normal. Anybody have any response to any of this?
Yeah, I was thinking about the foolishness of
coping.
Contrast. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, here you are being crucified with Christ and condemning yourself in that position.
That's the word. The problem is the word. Being. It seems like a small point.
Yeah.
But if you believe you're being crucified, then you can't see the finishness of it.
Yeah, actually, it's in the past.
It's a past tense. I am crucified already. I have never lived.
Well, there's the foolishness. Now here you are condemning yourself when you have been crucified.
When you're dead.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
But the point of it is, that's the way you're made, so that you can be useful to the kingdom of God, so you can come out of all of it and empty the temple. So you're not trying. I mean, anybody's trying to die is goofy. You mortify the flesh. Well, I'm trying to die then. No. And then you start doing these little mantras, and like, you know, I'm crucified with Christ, I'm crucified with Christ. Or, you know, it's just crazy.
You wear one of those little things around your leg, like the Opus Dei.
Yeah.
Make you hurt all the time. Remember that you're dead.
Well, it's only some of the Opus Dei people do that.
Well, the very highest.
The highest.
The older you get, the less you need one of those.
But the point of those is you don't complain about it.
We make poor Opus Dei.
What can I say?
Now you're mad at me again?
No, I'm not mad. I'm laughing at you.
Then you didn't understand what I said.
No, I understood what you said. Remember when you point a finger, you got 3 points back at you.
Let's remember some other inane statement.
I'm rubber, you're clay.
I'm rubber, you're clay.
I know you are, so what am I?
All right, take it, big guy.